My name is Addis Rodriguez. I live in the Bronx. I started at Hostos in 2013. This is my last semester here, and I study digital music. Yeah, I've been living in the South Bronx all my life. I actually live in the section, in the hybrid section of the Bronx, which is not too far from me. I live right by Yankee Stadium, so I walk here every day. I felt like this was a better option for me, just because it's close to home and I walk to school every day. Like, it could be raining, snowing. The sky could be falling. I'm basically walking to school.
And you're New York born or?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You're Rican or?
I'm Dominican and Puerto Rican.
Dominican, Puerto Rican. Interesting combination.
Well, I call myself a. I call myself a Quisqueya and Boriquín.
Like, oh, yeah, okay.
The Quisqueya.
Quisquerican.
The Quisquerican, yeah. I just tell people I'm from Highbridge. Like, I have that much pride in the borough that I come from, and in that one section too, about the amount of talent that's in this borough. It's just, I just have that much pride in it, and I just tell people straight up, like, I'm from Highbridge and this is me.
Now you come to Hostos, right? And mm-hmm. you start taking some of these courses.
Yeah.
You immediately go into digital.
So in high school, I was always into music. So I always wanted to know what was the whole, like, aspects of, like, how making music works. So it grew as, like, you know, as I got further into high school. So yeah, the first thing I applied to in Hostos was digital music. Well, and also I tried to, like, do business as well, but, like, I couldn't really do both. So I just chose music for my main major. Like,
what does music bring in terms of your perception that you find rewarding that other majors wouldn't bring?
Is actually the fact that aside from, like, you know, all of the projects that they make you do about learning different techniques with recording and, you know, working with the program and, like, working with the program that we use to record, it's just that you get to be expressive. Like, you get to express yourself. You get to be self-expressive, if I said that correctly. You get to really express about who you are and what you really want to do. And with that self-expression that you put out there within this program, it helps open doors to other things that can help you with that self-expression or with that self-expressive art that you have, whether it's just making music or writing music, composing, all of that. So.
And who recruited you?
Who recruited me
to come here to do digital?
To be honest with you, nobody really recruited me. My college counselor in high school told me about Hostos. And how it had a music program, and you could learn about recording techniques and all of that. So the way I want to say it is that, so when I first came into this program, I had no knowledge of, like, how to, like, work with Pro Tools or stuff like that. So, I mean, and this is what it's intended for. It's like they'll tell you you don't need to have all the knowledge in the world about, you know, how to record or how to use this program. We're here to help you learn. So they take you right in, like, they'll take you right there, like, hey, this is what it's all about. This is how you record yourself. And the first class you take is called DM 106, which is the introduction of recording. And with that class, it introduces you what Pro Tools is. They teach you what a sound wave is. They teach you how to use, like, most of the equipment here, how to connect your mics, what type of mics are out there. And they give you lessons on, like, how to record a big band. We actually, like, when I took the class, we actually had a whole live band session here. I've been practicing hip hop for years, so it's like it never really.
Who was the hip hop artist that helped form your interest in hip hop? What generation? How far back do you go? Nas, like, Tupac, or
I came from, like, you know, like. It started, like, in the, I mean, they call it the bling bling era, because a lot of rappers were, like, you know, all chained out with, like, big diamonds on them. I came from that generation. And, you know, Nas and Jay-Z and, you know, I had rappers like Common, Kanye West, they all influenced me. And as time grew, I did my research on a lot of rappers. I did my research on Jay-Z, his first album. I did my research on Nas, his first, second album. Common's first album. I got into newer artists, Lupe Fiasco. The Game. There's a lot of rappers that a lot of rappers that were influenced from back then, I grew into listening to them way more, and I'm actually really highly influenced by a lot of newer rappers now too. Like you have the J. Cole's, the Kendrick Lamar's, the Wale's, and you know, I'm always studying like a lot of these artists, just so I could like see how can I better my craft. Because they're doing something right. That's how I feel, and that's how I just take that every day, and I just like I take it as like not that I don't have fun with it, but I take it pretty serious. But I have an amount of like extreme fun with hip hop music. Like sometimes I feel like I'm not even like working. I feel like I'm just like, you know, living life, even though I'm working. Like let's say I was working on an album or something, and it was like, yo, we have to like, it has to come out this day. But I'm just having too much fun recording, or too much fun like making the process of being in the process of like making the song sound good or whatnot.
You study some of the stuff. I'm curious. You know, one of the things that people say is that during a certain era, the hip hop music was more conscious. It grew out of the projects and a lot of things in our own community. Nod at one point said that hip hop sold out. Now he's teaching at Harvard, but that's beside the point. Yeah. Do you really feel is the hip hop that you're listening to and the history that you've researched on your own, do you feel that hip hop had evolved from being what we call underground and rooted in the community to now what Nod used to say corporatized to the point where it's lost its soul as a music form?
I feel like, to be honest, like, it hasn't died at all. If you like I tell people this all the time, when it comes to like music, you have to look really deep into the field like of that genre, mainly because of the fact that it's not only what's playing on the radio that's out there. You have artists that are like making millions. They're living good, and they're putting out the music that, you know, is all socially, is about, you know, what's going on in the streets, what's going on in their communities. You know, they're not always about, you know, having sex with girls or like getting high or, you know, drinking, going to the clubs. Not all of them are about that. We have rappers like Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Wale, Big Sean. We have a lot of rappers that are good rappers and that could really, 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 and that are really talented. They could really rap. And I feel like He's spoken about it, like, yeah, there was a moment where hip-hop was dead, but, like, I think recently he said it himself, like, I think hip-hop right now is in a great place.
So is hip-hop a movement?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
A movement? Is it a movement in the tradition of a civil rights, social justice movement, or is it just a music form?
So what hip-hop is it's, I don't view it as just only music. It's a culture. It started way before, like, the MC, you know. There was the DJ, the graffiti artist, the breakdancer. Then the MC came after that. Like, I think I'm missing one more element, but that's from, like, from what I truly remember. And to be honest with you, hip-hop started because of the parties. There were a lot of parties going on, and you know, the MCs would, you know, they would rhyme to the breakbeats. So the breakbeats is like, you know, that one little, you know, little section where the drums can't kick in and the DJ just keeps replaying it and the crowd goes crazy. Oh, and they're just dancing. You see break dancers about to battle each other and whatnot for like, not to start no fights, but just because this was the culture. This was just how it was. It's a representation of who we were. And it really started for the parties. But there were still, you know, a lot of rappers that were, well, a lot of hip-hop artists back in the day that were still, you know, conscious of what was going on. There were songs that were for parties, but still spoke about what was going on in the communities. And I feel like this generation now has those vocal artists that can still do both, that can make stuff for the parties and that can be socially aware of what's going on. Especially nowadays, a lot of these artists are way more relatable than what they used to be. Not that they weren't ever relatable before, but like the two main artists that I keep bringing up, like Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole, are really relatable. Like Kendrick Lamar now talks about a lot of things that happened within the community, within within his childhood, and a lot of people could relate to that. You know, some people he has a song where he talks about seeing one of his best friends get shot, and then right now I think his most popular song is called All Right. Like basically it's like we gonna be all right. That became like a song for like, you know, I think in DC. The march in D.C. actually, and everybody's like, "We gonna be all right," and like, and then J. Cole has, you know, he has the songs where it's like, you know, he talks about kind of the same things, but he's more of the storyteller that gives you the narrative from his perspective. It's about like, okay, so there's a song called O3 Adolescence. And it talks about his coming up, like when he was in high school, and influenced by his friend. Well, he was influenced by a friend of his. Not that his friend told him to do it, but he was influenced by a friend that was selling drugs at the time. And he told him, "Yo, I wanna do this." And his friend looked at him like, "Are you crazy? You're about to go to college. Like, nah, you're not doing this." And you know, after that, he goes to college and he becomes this big star, I think. And to be honest with you, I just truly, honestly think that it's just about, it really does touch the heart and soul. And it's the fact that these people are so open to give you who they are. Not that there hasn't been rappers like that, but it's just,
not a phony as to that the politician and everybody else was like.
It's not like that at all. And then the fact that I feel, and what really plays a bigger role now is technology. We follow artists, we follow them on social media, we follow their movements, we hear breaking news about them and stuff like that. They're about to put out a new project, they promote it. It's all about, I really feel technology really makes everything become so bigger now that a lot of people can connect more because they're on it, and sometimes they do respond back to a few people. And it's just, I feel like that's what really like makes it more relatable now, because it depends on who they are. So
when you take digital technology and the stuff you learn here, mm-hmm. you're learning the process of how do you connect the process to the creativity? In other words, do you anticipate yourself at one point, because you perform it too, right?
Yeah.
So when you perform, somebody else is dealing with a lot of the stuff you deal with here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you're doing this, so, you know, it's like they ask the television folks, do you want to be in front of the camera? Do you want to be behind the camera? Yeah. Let me ask you, is it better from what you're getting here? Would you rather be in a performance and let somebody else handle this hyper technology mm-hmm. and be free to be yeah. your creative self? Or do you envision yourself through your major here being the back person for somebody else that's going to, you know, produce?
To be honest with you, I want to be a mixture of both. Because I love the performance side of everything. I love performing. I just did a performance, like, not too long ago. I'm here, like, in a sweaty T-shirt right now. And I love the side of performing because it's a form of expression. And I love the creative side of everything, too. And I also want to be the guy, too, that's behind the boards as well. Main reason why is because I want to know what I'm dealing with. I just don't want to be, because there's a lot of artists in the industry that don't know what they're dealing with right now. They'll just be like, set up a mic for me.
They only know the front.
Yeah, just set up the mic for me, and I'm ready to go. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that's like, okay, how does this, and this work? Oh, it works like this? Okay, cool. So show me how to set this up, and let me hear how I sound with this. Oh, how does this work? I want to be that kind of guy that's able to do both.
Now, how do you link your personal experience to the music you produce? In other words, you say you're Puerto Rican, Dominican, you grew yeah. up in a certain setting, you're mm-hmm. from Brooklyn or the Bronx.
Yeah.
How in your music do you express that?
It's just... In
other words, you know, because there are a lot of artists that tell their story. How do you do that through your music? Is it through your lyrics? You think about the lyrics before?
Exactly, it is. It's exactly through the lyrics. I'm a storyteller. I love to express myself that way whenever I make music. I'm a storyteller before anything. That's the type of artist that I grew up to be. And it was influenced a lot mainly because of Nas and Jay-Z. They were both amazing storytellers. Nas has records about, you know, giving you a perspective of a gun, like what goes down in his neighborhood, from like, you know, seeing his best friends get shot, viewing things from like outside of his window. And Jay-Z has all those stories too about, you know, him being the drug dealer, infecting his community, and just, and you know, thinking to himself like, they really want this, so I can't say no because I need to eat too. And I really do, it really does go with me, because the lyric is always about the lyrics for me, regardless of what anything else is. It's always been about the lyrics for me, because I do want to paint a picture for you through my words. And if you got, and if the listener goes ahead and can kind of see the picture that I'm trying to paint, and also reflect on what he's doing, or and reflect on what's going on with his life, and if it's that relatable to him, then I've done my job. I have a song called Drug Money, and it's not about me like selling drugs or anything like that. I don't know.
No, Jay-Z, that's not you.
That's not me. So it's about paranoia. It's about two sides of paranoia. It's about me as a kid growing up. And, you know, you know, a regular teenager, jobs are not gonna accept you right away. You don't have the experience. But you go to try to apply for a job to get the experience, but they don't wanna give it to you. So there's a good moment of time where I need the cash in my pocket to help my mother out. And it was I was young. And I would always ask her, like, you need help? I could get a job right now, you know? She's like, no, focus on school. She was always telling me that. It was just like, focus on school. And I tell you that story within the lyrics. Like, it starts, used to wonder how my mind stayed from all of the actions increasing the crime rate. Always wonder how that affect my mind state till I learned about the cheddar when brothers grind late. Could have really found ways to get the hell out, sleeping with the roaches and the rats up in my house. While mom struggled to make the checks bounce, always feeling that I'm always being damn left out. Rotten ways just to get some cash in. Tired of begging and damn asking. Don't really know how to last the business. Was told my birth is 7 cent, but I always felt next to the 666. Dreams of being rich is what a brother yearn. Oh, told nothing's ever given, always gotta earn. Some brothers get killed, others get burned. Tired of always looking out in every corner that I turn. Wonder what I gotta do to get what I deserve. Always saw money was the biggest street concern, cause in these streets, man, you gotta stay firm. One thing on the mind was the day turn. Just had to get bigger bread from the actions they affirm. Adding up all the things that been earned, and from all that a brother been learned, that too much money ain't enough money. And I swear to God, y'all ain't taking none from me. My hands on the wheel, get over the hill, I'ma get it all even through the drug money. So it's stuff like that. So the song is basically just two paranoias. It's my paranoia as a kid, like not having money and thinking of ways, how can I make some to help out in the household? And then the second verse is about my cousin.
What do you say when people say, and you hear this often, right? Are you promoting a lifestyle or are you keeping it real?
I don't view it like that. The way I view it is all about self-expression.
Okay.
Because this is my thing. So let's say a country artist goes and talks about keying her ex's car or something like that, slashing tires. What is that? What is that promotion? They don't view that type of thing out there like that. Like that's not a positive thing to do. Why would you slash somebody's tires or wreck their car or stuff like that, or hit their car with a Louisville Slugger? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's stuff like that I look at and I'm like, okay, so this is self-expression in this side. But when it comes to us, when we talk about, you know, our environments and our situations, we're not brought up in the same way that a lot of country music stars are. I'm not saying that they don't have humble beginnings. Yo, most of them do. Not a lot of them do. But this is the thing. The thing is, it's about expression. It's about putting a story out there that doesn't get told. A lot of people view like hip hop music is just like, oh, this is just, you know, their ghetto. And no, it's not about that. It's about giving you a story that can't be expressed just through coming by. You have to understand why we're angry, why we're upset. There's drugs in the neighborhood. Guns come here. We don't know how. There's fiends that walk every day. You have to watch your back wherever you go to. We come from a community that's angry. A lot of us are angry. We walk around with a mean stare because...
So.
We walk around with the mean stares because we can't show that we're weak, regardless of the fact. This is New York City. We have 5 boroughs, and almost each borough, depending where you go to, it's pretty bad. No matter, you could be in Queens, Manhattan, you could be in Harlem, you could be in Brooklyn, you could be in Staten Island, you could be in the Bronx. Anywhere you go to that you're not known, you have to be aware of where you guys are at. Why? Because a lot of bad things happen out here. It's all about the self-expression of this environment that we're in. They talk about saying that we don't promote this. This is the reason why a lot of us talk about things like this. This is where we come from. We come from these areas where we're not given chances. We're not given any opportunities to really go out and learn about way more things. We're not a lot of opportunities about, you know, advertising, about, you know, you could learn about being a doctor, it's not really given to us like that. We have to like really go out and look for it ourselves. We don't come from a background where parents say, hey, you need $1,000. You know what I'm saying? Like we don't come from that type of background. We come from a background where it's like you have to earn what you get. There's a lot of songs that are from in and out of hip hop that play that. Yeah, but it's not about the artist. It's about what the fans want, because this gets promoted way more, and because the fans want that promotion.
Do they want it, or is that what sells? Because one view is that the people that control the music would tell you, look, you know, Alex, you do better. Mm-hmm. If you put down some lyrics that are a little more provocative and throw a few B words around and a few, you know, because there's a real discussion going on between the B word and the N word, right? And we get a lot of discussion about especially the N word.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? It seems like your generation and the hip hop artists saying, well, we don't mean it in that sense. Mm-hmm. And then my generation might say, well, look, there's a difference between people laughing with you and people laughing at you.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, other people say, well, we've changed it from the N word, from being with an ER to an A.
Yeah.
Where do you come down on that debate?
I grew up with like the word being said around me all the time. It just happens. I'm not gonna be the one to tell you I don't say the word. I do. Not because of because I want to. It's just a habit. I grew up with it. So it's just around, you know, this is what you grew up with, and this is what you get used to, because, you know, you hear this every day, and it's not a pretty word. Don't get me wrong. I don't glorify it, but it's just like, it just so happens to like stick within me. Like, I mean,
yeah, well, a lot of our students, that's routine conversation.
Yeah, for sure. So, but another thing that like, That happens. I mean, I learned about this from a Kendrick Lamar album, his last one, which is called To Pimp a Butterfly. He talks about that word, and he says it himself. We've been using it wrong. It doesn't come from like, you know, slaves. It comes from it means royalty, but it's spelled differently. It's spelled N-E-G-U-S. And he talks about that. Like, he talked about that in one of his songs.
I never heard that. I'd be interested in pursuing that history.
It was pretty interesting. Yeah. Like, I didn't really get a chance to do too much research into it, but it was eye opening because I never heard somebody talk about that word like that. And I don't glorify the word. It just happens to, like, you know.
No, because I hear
it comes
a lot
out,
of,
and then I,
you you're know, keeping it real.
I keep it real. Yeah. Like, it just happens to come out. And I write it like. I write it just the N-I-G-G-A. Like, it just happens to come out. And I do defend the whole, like, you know, the whole generation now where they say, you know, we took it as a word of, like, you know,
of affection.
We took it as a word of, like, you know, that was supposed to talk down on people, and we made it into something else. When we say my N-word, that's my brother. A lot of people really, like, put a lot of power towards words. I mean, it's not to say that it's just a nice word that I'm promoting people to say it. No, if you choose not to say it, don't say it. If you don't, and if you say it, you know, just know when and where to say it. I don't say it going, like, if I'm with friends and I'm comfortable enough with you, then,
you're,
you know,
in-house.
In-house, yeah, then I might, you know, it might come out, I might slur the word out a couple times because those are my peoples. But I'm not going to go out and, you know, I only grew up with my mom as a kid growing up in the hybrid section of the Bronx, and I feel like a lot of these artists have that one person that, you know, plays both roles, the father and the mom. I look at my mom and I tell her the same thing. I'm like, you're my mother and my father. This was given to me and I had to take it regardless. And I feel like that's what it really is, because at the end of the day, your parents are your biggest supporters, regardless. You could be, you know, you could tell your mom you want to be a lawyer. Yo, she's going to support you 100%. You could tell, you know, your mom. I mean, I told my mother I'm making music. At first, she didn't know what I was talking about. She sees what I'm doing. She sees what I'm doing now. And the biggest smile on her face, because she sees that I've gained my personality more as time grew with music. Because I started up as, I'm an only child. So it was like, I didn't really speak to that many people. And I didn't really, like, you know, I didn't really go out that much. I had a lot of friends, but I didn't really connect with them as much as, like, I connected with my friends now. And it's because of the music that helped me gain my
confidence. Hip-hop became almost like a liberating thing for you. Exactly. It actually transformed you in many ways.
Yeah, exactly. Like I started really getting into hip-hop music to make it, like, my early years in high school. I was still a quiet kid in high school. But as time grew and, you know, I started getting more mature and I started writing more, my confidence started to grow a little bit more. My main thing was that I want to be relatable to people. I want to show people that I'm a human being too, regardless if I make music or not. Because at the end of the day, we're all people. We all bleed the same, regardless. If we get cut, we get cut. I want to show people that I'm just a regular person. I do have confidence in myself that I am going to make it to that level of stardom that I want. But, I mean, if I don't, I always feel like I'm going to have a connection with people because of, like, the music that I put out. I already have a mixtape out. And I feel like it's making a connection with people. I've been told that, you know, it's pretty good and it's really relatable, a lot of great stories. But I've always felt like I can make that connection. Even if I don't reach the maximum, like, big, you know, commercialized artists that a lot of people view as like, you know, icons. But there's rappers like, you know, like you mentioned earlier, Mortal Technique, who's relatable to so many people, and he's living good. He's not, you know, it's not like he's like, he's broke. He's good. He makes some good money.
He actually turned down money from some of these big business folks.
Yeah, there's people like, you know, Lupe Fiasco, who doesn't have that much of a big commercial push, but he puts out great music and he's touring right now. So I feel like that's another thing that some people don't really view. Don't really see as well. Like, aside from them not being commercially advertised, a lot of these other people are still making pretty good money. Aside of just, like, you know, making music.
And they have to do some soul searching when they get confronted.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Positively.
Now, what would you say, or where does Ostos come into your... You've been taking this digital thing. Where does Ostos come... Where do you see Ostos down the line? I know you know the Shad, the role he's played in starting a lot of this. Mm-hmm. He's one of the pioneers put some of this together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reese, he put a lot of this together.
Yeah.
Where do you see Ostos helping take you there? And the other thing I would ask you is your mentoring role. Where do you see Ostos tying into this? And do you see yourself as taking some of these young bloods and bringing them in? And teaching them the ropes to the people that don't understand this?
I do see myself doing something like that. To be honest with you, I want to say it like this. Reese has been one of the biggest mentors I've ever had. He's one of the biggest influences that I've ever had when it comes to making music. He pushes me to, like, create all the time. Like, me and him have had conversations about music all the time. He's actually heard my project, and he likes it, you know. Aside from, like, the occasional N-word that gets thrown out here and there. But I feel like Hostos has played the biggest role when it comes to me creating music. Because I never, before coming to Hostos, I never had access to a studio, ever. I didn't know how to set things up. I didn't know what a microphone was. I didn't know what type of microphone to use. I knew what a microphone was, but I didn't know what type of microphone to use to record. I never had any of that. I feel like Hostos made me, you know, help shape who I am now.